The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome now, everybody, to Gaudete Sunday. Okay, this is the special Sunday in the season of Advent, and it's only one of 2 days in the year in which you're going to see the priest wear this color. Okay, before Mass at 7:30, one of their servers said to me, "You're looking pretty sharp today, Father." So all I have to say is, take a good look. Only 2 days in the year in which you get to see this. There's Gaudete, and then there's Litare Sunday in Lent. And here's how you remember that, okay? L for Litare, L for Lent. G for Gaudete, that one only works one way, okay? But Gaudete, it's Latin, and it means rejoice. Gaudete in Domino Semper. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's what St. Paul said to the Philippians. That's the entrance antiphon to Mass today. And, as it turns out this year, that's also our second reading. Here's St. Paul, and boy is he emphatic. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then just in case you don't get the message, he doubles down and he says, "I'm going to say it again. Rejoice." And that's in the imperative. That's a commandment. Man, Paul is serious about this joy. You know what's interesting about that, though? When Paul wrote those words to the Philippians, he was in prison. Paul was rotting in jail awaiting his own execution. And he said, "Rejoice always." Now, how the heck do you find joy in a circumstance like that? I mean, that is some trick. How does he do it? What's his secret? You want to know what Paul's secret is? He says it in the next line. He says, "The Lord is near." This is the secret of the saints: finding your joy in the closeness of God. That's what St. Paul wanted to tell the Philippians. That's what our Lord wants you to know. And, well, you know what? That's the theme for this day. Now, joy is a big subject. Lots of things to talk about. I'll tell you one thing you got to know when you talk about the subject of joy. Have you heard this before? That happiness is an inside job. And we all know what that means. That means that don't wait for the world around you to be just so before you decide to find your happiness. Do not base your happiness on all the things around you, because that will never happen. You will be waiting forever. This is a broken world, as you know, okay?
things fall apart. There's frustrations and headaches and never-ending difficulties, and there's tragedies and there's hardships. And if you're waiting around for the world around you to be perfect before you find happiness, you're never going to find it, because you can't control any of that stuff. Happiness is an inside job. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas told us about joy. He said, joy is the conscious possession of a good. I love that definition. The conscious possession of a good. Two parts to that definition, okay? The first part is you got to be in possession of something good. And the second part is you got to know about it, which means that if you are, well, if you're wallowing in sadness, either that means that you've got nothing good in your life, and that describes nobody here, or it means you have not yet discovered the good that you have, especially the good that is known in the conscious possession of God, that the Lord is near. Knowing that is what the spiritual life is all about. That's what made the saints the saints. Okay, now, if you're not there yet, don't fret. I'm not there yet either. But I know where I'm going. Right? And I ask you to come along with me, because this is the path that leads to life. Now, I can tell you a little bit about that path, because our readings today, believe it or not, they describe that path. Okay, the first thing that our readings describe is that it's a long path. Believe it or not, that's what the first reading is all about. First reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Let me tell you about Zephaniah. Zephaniah was the prophet of doom, because he lived in a time in which the temple in Jerusalem was corrupt and the government of the people was corrupt. And Zephaniah had an oracle for the Lord, and he loaded both barrels and he shot them at the people. And he said, let me tell you, people of Israel, there is a judgment coming down on your heads, the likes of which this people has not seen since the days when God rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me tell you, Zephaniah was worked up, okay? And righteous indignation. He had every reason to be. But here's the greatness of that book. You can read this book if you want. It's not very long. The greatness of Zephaniah is that he didn't stay there. Zephaniah did not live his whole life in anger. He found his way to joy. And it comes at the very end of his book. And that's what you heard in your first reading. Now listen to this. Zephaniah says, shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all of your heart. Why? Because the Lord your God is in your midst. Exact same thing that St. Paul said. Exact same thing. So it's a long road, okay? It's also a hard road. Jesus once said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he could have just as easily said, if you don't love me, go ahead and break my commandments. Go ahead. Because I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If anybody would open up, I'll come in. I'll come in. You know what that means? That means if you want to know what it means that the Lord is near, you've got to constantly repent. Constantly. There's not one person here in this church, your priest included, who does not have far more sin in their life than they are aware of. Easy compromises with the ways of the world that they are aware of. And a divided heart. A heart that only loves God, oh, but so much. And if you want to find the Lord, you've got to constantly get up and repent. That's what John the Baptist is talking about here in the gospel. Specific repentance for people. He says, you've got so much, you got two cloaks and you got all that extra food. For the love of God, give it away. What's the matter with you? Don't you realize there's people in this world don't have enough? And you, be content with your wages. Stop extorting money out of people. And you, stop bullying people. Give them specific things to repent of. Because what's his message? The Lord's coming. You better get ready. And not only that, but he also talked about the difficulty of being purified by the Lord. You know, we talk about the winnowing fan is in his hand. And you know what that means? A winnowing fan was like a great big rake. And what you do, you put the grain out on the threshing floor. And you take the winnowing fan and you throw the grain up into the air, and the wind would blow away the chaff and the grain would fall back down. And it was a way of being purified. And he said, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What the heck does that mean? Well, the word baptize means to immerse or to dip. It's just, the Greek word is bautizein. So what is it that you dip into the fire? Dip it in, pull it back out again. What is it? Precious metals. Gold. You do that to silver. Why? To purify it. That's why. And if that gold and that silver had a voice and they could speak, you know what they'd say? They'd say, ouch, this hurts, wouldn't they? Purification, it's a hard, it's a long road, and it's a very, very difficult road. But it is a beautiful road, ladies and gentlemen. It's the road that leads to life. And I hope in your life you've had a chance to meet people who have found their joy in the Lord. Now, I'm not just talking, you know, you get people that've got just a naturally fun temperament. I'm not talking about that. What's the best is when you meet somebody who by temperament is a curmudgeon, right? But they're joyful, and the only reason for it is God. I hope you've had a chance to see that beautiful thing. If you haven't, volunteer with Mother Teresa's sisters, the Missionaries of Charity. Let me tell you, they are just beaming with joy. And they got no reason for it. They're living in the worst parts of town, in very, very difficult situations, and they're working with some of the most difficult people in the whole world, and in spite of it, they're joyful, and the Lord is the reason. I'll tell you another place I've seen it. It was when I was in the monastery. I tell you, half the attraction of the monastery was the joy of the other monks. They were beaming with joy, and no reason for it. Let me tell you, the monks live very hard lives. You know, in the monastery, we got one meal a day. One meal a day. And you never slept through the night, ever. You'd sleep 4 hours, then you wake up for 3 hours of prayer, then you go back for 4 more hours of sleep. Surprisingly, you actually did feel rested, but you never got to sleep through the night, and you lived your life in solitude in a cell, and I'm telling you, you couldn't do that to a criminal in this country as a punishment for a crime. They'd call it cruel and unusual punishment, wouldn't they? But they're joyful. What's the reason for their joy? Their joy is in the Lord. It's a secret of the saints, too. Did I ever tell you the story of the martyrdom of St. Lawrence? If I've told you, then pardon me for repeating myself. But it's the greatest story of joy in all the saints. St. Lawrence was the Archdeacon of Rome. Way, way back, the Archdeacon of Rome, he used to be second in line to become Pope. And this is in the days of one of the worst Roman emperors ever. It was Emperor Valerian, about 250 AD. He was one of those who, you know, he threw the Christians to the lions and he covered them with tar and pitch and set them on fire just to watch them burn. You know what they did? They captured the Pope and killed him. And the next one they captured was St. Lawrence. Now, St. Lawrence had the job of taking up the collection. This just goes to show you they even had collections back then. And they said, before we kill you, we want you to bring us the treasures of the church. And St. Lawrence said, I'll be right back. And he came back with the poor, the lame, the blind, the widows, the orphan, lined them all up, and he said, here they are, the treasures of the church. Well, they gave him the most painful death they could possibly give him for pulling that little trick. They grilled him alive over an open flame, like a flame-broiled Whopper. And you know what's amazing? St. Lawrence cracked jokes as he was dying. Because he had invincible joy. He knew he was going to heaven. And he said, you can turn me over now. I'm done on that side. And you got these Roman senators watching Lawrence die. And they convert to the faith because of what he possessed. And you know what he possessed? Jesus Christ. He is the joy. He is the joy. It's like he said to his apostles, everything I've taught you, so that my joy can be in you and that your joy can be complete. And you know when Jesus said those words? The night before he died. And he's talking about joy. That's the renewal. You know there's a renewal coming to this church. You know that? Whenever things get really, really bad, God always raises up saints. There's a renewal coming to this church. And I'll tell you one thing about the renewal. It is going to be marked by joy. The kind of joy that the cold secular world can't deliver. And they're going to look at Christians and they're going to say, what is your secret? We want to be part of that renewal. And it begins today. Because the Advent season is about welcoming the Lord into your life, that his joy might be in you, and your joy might be complete. Amen.